Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Irish Catholics have called for major changes in the church's attitudes to women, members of the LGBTQI plus community and the divorced, as well as the removal of the mandatory celibacy rule of priests in a major new report being sent to Rome. The National Synthesis document followed extensive consultation with thousands of Catholics across the country. I'm joined by Ursula Halligan, who's a member of the Catholic reform group We Are Church. Good evening, Ursula.
Good evening, John.
And thanks very much for joining me on Drive Time. These are big demands, women priests, recognition and respect for the LGBTQI plus community. Very ambitious, some people might say. What do you think?
Well, we're delighted with the report. We had fears that the bishops might try to censor or dilute the views of Irish Catholics who took part in the synodal process, because the institutional church has for centuries been an authoritarian and secret organisation. However, the amazing thing is that it didn't, and that is heartening. And great credit must go to the Primate of All Ireland, Bishop Eamon Martin, and to the bishops, but in particular to Dr. Nicola Brady, the chairperson of the steering committee and the members of that committee, for ensuring that the consultation phase of the synodal process has been conducted so openly, so honestly and faithful to the feedback from Catholics. The whole process has been heartening, and I believe it'll encourage trust to grow again between the people of God, the ordinary lay Catholic women and men, and the institutional church.
Maybe let's explain the process a little bit more, because I've been reading that views were gathered from each diocese right across the country. This report, Ursula, was based on consultation with churchgoers, or was it just disaffected Catholics or people who left the church, or who?
John, it was with everybody. Pope Francis went out of his way to say, you know what? Not even Catholics. He threw the invitation open to everyone. I was asked by the Bishop of Elphin, Kevin Doran, to facilitate a focus group for LGBT people. And I had a group of 10 people. One of them was an atheist, another was a Buddhist, another person described themselves as non-Christians, and the others described themselves as Christian, four were Catholic. And that was okay, because you see, for people to understand the synodal process, Pope Francis is throwing open the invitation to everyone. He understands that God is not a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Jew, that God is much bigger than any of our little categories, and that the Catholic Church, to understand what church means, is primarily to be a sign, to be a sacrament of the love of the divine. So that is important, John, because if those things aren't understood, the whole process doesn't make sense. So the marvelous thing that the hierarchy in Ireland did today was they moved away from the old way of being church, the old pay, pray and obey model of church, to a new model, the model that Pope Francis is trying to encourage, which treats Catholic men and women as adults.
Ursula, I understand you chaired that focus group in Carrick and Shannon, which came up in the programme earlier on. We were talking about stag and hen parties. I won't ask you about that this evening. This was a very close to your heart as well, though, the way the Catholic Church treats and respects, or maybe doesn't respect. Well, let's be honest, in the past, certainly did not respect or even acknowledge people from the LGBTQI plus community. What did other people say to you about their views on the church and what how they feel?
Well, the report is online and it's about 10 or 12 pages, John. But basically, I had 10 people who identified as LGBT, and we talked about the church, their experience of church. The National Synthesis described the comments and the findings of that report as visceral, because it was exactly that. People spoke from their hearts. They told about how awful they felt growing up as Catholics in Catholic Ireland in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, right up to now, and how they suffered from that, and how their humanity, how they weren't able to flourish. And the report goes into great detail, and it is full of comments, and it is.
And I think people would wonder, sorry, Ursula, to cut across you, but then why they want to be part of this process at all anymore? And that's why many would have left the church and have done.
Yeah, but you see, that's because, John, the church isn't a club. I mean, why didn't I leave the church? Because my faith is important to me, because I care about the church. And that's why I was trying to explain what we understand by church. Because if people think it's a club, of course I would have left it long ago. But it's not. It's the people of God. It's all of us. And if okay. I set up my own church next week, you can be guaranteed there'd be a row and someone else wouldn't like the way I'm running the church and there'd be mm-hmm. a splinter church and whatever. The challenge is that we have to work together. That's the challenge. And that's what I'm trying to do. I care about my faith.
But the challenge
is... I care about the hierarchy. I care about everybody. So, and that's what we're supposed to do. And that's how we're supposed to be church, to try and reflect the divine love. And it is challenging.
The challenge is to get anyone to listen to you in the Vatican, I would think, in this report, because these are calls for women priests, optional celibacy. We've been told by the bishops here, church doctrine is not up for debate.
Well, Pope Francis is listening because this is his idea. I mean, none of this would have happened without Pope Francis. So he's the one who started this process. So I know he is listening. So that's why we're taking part in the process. And already I can see that the hierarchy are also listening. So it's a wonderful start. I'm full of hope for it. The woman who Pope Francis put in charge of the process, Sister Natalie Beckwith, has described the process as a creative path. And she said, we have no idea where it will end. And as for doctrine not changing, well, that just isn't historically, factually accurate. Of course it has. And you see, I didn't know any of this, John, until I started studying theology. And really, it has been such an enriching experience for me.
Forgive me and for cutting across you again.
Doctrine does change.
But I heard the bishops on the radio this week as well saying there's never going to be women priests. It's as simple as that.
Well, I mean, that just doesn't make sense. That really doesn't
add up. And a lot of people would agree with you, but not the hierarchy in the church.
Say that again, John?
A lot of people would agree with you, Ursula. There's no doubt, but not the hierarchy in the church, it would seem.
No, well, I wouldn't rule that out. I believe in an evolution of views, and already I think a little mini miracle has happened this week. I have great faith in our bishops. I think they have so far conducted themselves really well. So I have hope in the process, and I do believe there will be women priests, and that will happen, John.
Wouldn't that be interesting? I think a lot of people are going to be
here,
Ursula, they'll be saying this evening. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when this report goes to Rome for ahead of a synod. It's next October. And obviously the views of Catholics in every other country being taken on board as well. Whether those calls from Ireland will be watered down remains to be seen, and whether they'll be heeded. And certainly it's one we'll be very interested in following up on. Ursula Halligan of We Are Church, thank you very much for joining me on Drive Time.